Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
I'm not gonna write you a love song, 'cause you asked for it, 'cause you need one. You see, I'm not gonna write you a love song, 'cause you tell me it's make or break in this. If you're on your way, I'm not gonna write you to stay. All I have is leaving. I'm
no, listen to this.
It's 34 past the hour. I'm Doug Steffen with Victoria Keelan, Kara Schillen, perspectives on what's going on in the world. A couple of Utah men helping a friend, but somehow or other wound up on the wrong end of the law. Orem, Utah police officers found two men watching a house sitting in a car using binoculars. Two said that their friend had asked them to watch their this place because it had been robbed in the past. That was the truth. And the men were helping their friend, but they had their own problems they probably shouldn't have been worrying about. One had an outstanding warrant, and the other, the car had drug paraphernalia in it. So the two were taken into custody. So what started out to be something that was good, a helpful thing for their friend, ended up costing them. Yeah, the police wouldn't have paid any attention to them if they were not sitting in their car with binoculars looking at somebody's house. And so the police say, what are you guys doing here? Oh, what's that in the back seat? Oh, let me do a breathalyzer on you. Oh, let me check this. Let me check that. So for their trouble, thank you. Now you're in jail.
Okay.
Congratulations. Good news. For the third year in a row, Gunnar Robinson lives in Wilmington, North Carolina, has asked for shoe donations instead of presents for his birthday, which is next week. Each pair of shoes goes to a child in his community who needs shoes to go to school. So far, this 10-year-old has given 600 pair of shoes. The organization is called Gunner's Runners. Good for this kid. I've always got shoes, new shoes for school, nice ones. I want other children to have them as well. Thanks to a large donation from the high school class of 1991 reunion in his town, he was able to buy 30 pair of new shoes last week. Donation boxes have been set up around Wilmington. And once all the shoes have been collected, after his birthday, the family will give them to a social worker who will distribute them to children in need before the school year starts. That's a very cool thing. Where do they come up with ideas like this?
Well, you know, I love this story because this really is a perfect example of, you know, we talk a lot about, well, the parents have to really set a good example. And
yes,
these parents did. I love that. And it really stuck with the kid.
It's all about your parents and what you grow up around. That's who you are going to be. Matter of fact, the mom's name is Christy, said she thinks her son's drive to help children stems from a girl that they sponsored at Christmas time in 2013. They bought presents for this girl. But what resonated with young Gunner was that if his family hadn't bought her shoes, she wouldn't have had any shoes to wear. His mother said that just stuck with him. The next year, when the mother asked Gunner what he wanted for his birthday, he said shoes for other children. So she shared the son's birthday wish on Facebook, and then a lot of people started donating shoes. Gunner had a goal to collect 300 shoes, and actually got 415 pair of shoes. And so his Gunner's Runners was born, annual shoe collection. This is the first time this fellow has organized a charitable act. A couple of years ago, he collected 400 pounds of food for those in need on Thanksgiving. Imagine this little 10.
I love it.
The consciousness of a 10-year-old like that. Probably a really old soul. And as such, understands this and separates himself from the rest of the pack. So I'm sure he's playing and being a normal kid, but also has something else going on with him, which is something worth talking about, and that's why we are doing that. Here's some more good news. The Girl Scouts are going to bring more and different types of cookies along with the Thin Mints. Girl Scouts introduced a couple of new cookies for their lineup yesterday. Yesterday was National S'mores Day.
Yum.
So this is, some of the cookies are a twist on s'mores. One is a graham cookie dipped in cream icing and chocolate.
Oh, that sounds so heavenly.
Other is more like s'mores, marshmallow chocolate filling between 2 gram cookies.
Do we know any Girl Scouts? Because I don't know anyone with kids.
I bet Jennifer, I bet Jennifer will know some.
Yeah, because we need to get a hold of these.
I think Rich's daughter might be
yes.
a Girl Scout.
Oh, right.
Because at the beginning
right
of the
that.
Year, whenever they go on sale, he always sends an email to everyone saying, hey, you guys better buy 10 boxes.
Yep. Next year is the 100th anniversary for the Girl Scouts selling cookies. So they're commemorating the anniversary with some new treats. So those of you who look forward to Girl Scout cookies, they're not that good. They're not bad. They're okay.
Samoas are amazing.
But I find
you don't
the
like
idea
it. Well,
of,
you
they
you don't
cost
like
better
cookies,
when
though,
they
right?
weren't $5 a box.
Yeah,
personally,
yeah. Getting a little expensive. 20 minutes for the hour here on Good Day.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here, so you want more kids? Well, probably the question I hear most is, Dr. B, how long should I wait between child number 1, 2, 3, 4, or more? Here's the developmental science of it.
It's a family affair.
The ideal time space between children is 4 years. Space them out in a 3 to 4 year interval, and here's what happens. First, they don't compete. Each child is in a qualitatively different stage of childhood, and each day's in his or her own world. The next reason is financial. If there's 4 years difference between the sibs, one's in high school and one's in college, and you're not paying 2 tuitions at once. What's the cheap psychological trick? 3 to 4 years difference between kids turns the elder into a true big brother or sister, and it will make your home so much easier to run. Got a question? Send it to me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Today on App Check, Quarter Shuffle. Slide quarters as close to the center target as possible. This app just proves anyone can develop an app, even idiots.
Call me an idiot!
Quarter Shuffle.
Struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This Heisman finalist obliterated the college record books in 1990, throwing for 5,100 yards and 54 touchdowns, more than his entire NFL career.
Under pressure, throws it, has a man open, touchdown Houston.
So where is David Klinger now? David's pro career had few highlights, but it helped lead him to his life's path. During his NFL days, David was encouraged by his Bible class teacher to pursue a career in religious studies. David earned his PhD in Old Testament studies from the Dallas Theological Seminary, and in 2010 was named the director of its Houston campus.
Klinger zings it in the end zone, caught for the touchdown.
David Klinger, from play caller to true calling. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing today's Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-677-6111 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. Plus, more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-677-6111. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. Call right now and even the shipping is free. Call 1-800-677-6111. 1-800-677-6111.
All right, so we're talking about youngsters who really are something special. And here's the story of Jeremy Shuler, S-H-U-L-E-R. Yesterday, this would have been a good 2020 news quiz question. By the way, it's 17 before the hour. I'm Doug Steffen with Victoria Keelan and Kara Schillen. The story of Jeremy Shuler is pretty simple and straightforward. much akin to the accomplishments of the 10-year-old we were just talking about who went around getting shoes for everybody. This is a personal story about Jeremy Schuler, who was notified yesterday he was accepted into Cornell's engineering program this fall. So what's so unusual about that? Jeremy Schuler just turned 12.
I did not anticipate that.
12-year-old going to Cornell University to major in engineering. There are always stories about young child. Are they prodigies? Are they geniuses? Are they, whatever they are, whatever they are, whoever they are. This turns out well for some and not so well for others. Sometimes these youngsters, when they go to school like this at this age, are taunted and teased by the olders who are jealous of their knowledge, their ability to be able to, at 12, figure this stuff out. There are a lot of geniuses among us, brains that are wired differently than ours, and so they can figure these things out. It's the best argument for old souls that I can come up with. Those of you who believe in the continuation of life, and some are older souls and some are younger souls, and what does all that mean? I believe that youngsters like this, when they come into this world, are bringing with them knowledge from a previous life. And it becomes so apparent as to how their brains work. I mean, that's the only explanation. You could get some guy to, you know, do we have all these amateur shrinks who are trying to figure out what Donald Trump's brain is all about. There are professionals who have researched these sorts of things to find out what it is. And I say, why do you want to figure out? Let's just enjoy. Let's encourage. Let's thank heavens that there are people like him around to set a different standard. I think that's really what it is. And more often than not these days, it's a young lady and not a young man. And that happens because I think there's more encouragement for this. I think there are as many young women born with the tendency to be geniuses as there are young men. But I think that the way our society worked, the patriarchal society that it is or has been, more men, young men got recognized for it, and the girls were sort of put aside because girls weren't supposed to be in science. Girls weren't supposed to be doctors. Girls weren't supposed to be, you know, you name whatever they weren't supposed to be. And so they were, when somebody would show up with these sorts of talents, they just kind of be, oh, there's something wrong with her. Right? I mean, that's how it kind of got dealt with. Oh, deal with her. Anyway, speaking of research, you two can chime in anytime, by the way. The government... It's not necessarily a monologue here. The government is, and now I feel like Steve Harvey. The government on the board announcing today that it will allow more research into marijuana, but has rejected requests to relax the classification of marijuana as a dangerous, highly addictive drug with no medical use. So here's sort of one arm of the government is doing one thing, another arm of the government doing something else, and what a waste of money and time. The Drug Enforcement Administration has one goal, and that is to keep people from using marijuana because of the drug. And then there are other Health and Human Services says, well, you can use marijuana if you're sick. It's medicinal. It's okay. So, and then the two sue each other. Two departments in the government is like the Justice Department is suing the State Department to get more of Hillary Clinton's emails. Huh? What, why am I paying for that?
Right, exactly.
Please? Why am I paying? And that's the same thing with this foolishness with the Food and Drug Administration versus the Drug Enforcement Administration and Health and Human Services. So there's three different governmental agencies that are working on marijuana in some way, shape, or form. And then there are 25 states that also are studying marijuana to see what the extent is, how far can you go using it for medicinal purposes.
Are they looking at like long-term effects, or what are they trying
yeah,
to study?
Yeah,
out
I think
of it?
That's part
I mean,
of it.
It's
yeah.
been around
yeah.
since the well, '60s. Why don't you just study people now who smoked back then?
It's been around for hundreds of years.
Well, I mean, right, but I mean, pop culture-wise, yeah. you know, the '60s right. was sort of the explosion of it, right?
Yeah, I guess I don't know. When I was a kid in Woodstock and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
but now this stuff's a lot stronger. I'm told by people.
That's what I've heard, yeah, that
very
the
strong.
That the THC amounts are, the yeah. levels in it now are a lot more yeah. potent.
Can you
I don't
imagine,
know why that is. But.
Imagine Vladimir Putin taking a puff on a, or a toke, was that what they call it? A toke on a...
You know what? I would encourage Putin to start toking, because right. it might mellow him out a little bit.
Yesterday at this time, I read an email from my best friend and closest ally here, in the radio world, is a guy that I have, you've heard me talk about him, and the girls know him, and the kids that work with us. I have great regard for Bob because he's sort of like the senior spokesperson or the senior mentor for all of us. And he and I have been friends since we worked together at WBZ in 1968. Well, I was at a party. His wife is a wonderfully sweet lady, and her mother is a wonderfully sweet lady, and she had her 90th birthday party the week before last. And at the party, I met a couple of young kids who the daughter I think I'd met before, but I'm not sure. The son I had never met before, 21 years old, I'll be a senior in college this year, wonderful kid. Really, I mean, you do get, there's an aura, there's a thing that you get. He's a smart, smiley, kind of like that swimmer, Kara, that we were talking about, who was so good-looking at the Olympics. And so he's got everything going for him. He's driving home the night before last, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's got a Jeep Wrangler. And he loses control of the Jeep, and it rolls over and over and over, and he's dead.
Jeez.
So from when I first saw him, and I was very impressed. He came over, shook my hand. We talked a little about what he was doing in school, you know, that kind of stuff. And here's this kid that's full of promise, full of life, full of vim, vigor, and vitality. He's dead. And so I think to myself, I thought about this when I woke up this morning. I thought about when I went to bed last night, how it is that the momentary thing that we, the momentary pleasures and momentary sadness that we have, or whatever emotions we go through every day, they are just that, momentary. We are a flash in the pan in the history of this planet. We are nothing. And yet we are something because we're important to other people. I hope there's nobody listening to this program right now, whether you be in this country or around the world, wherever you are, I hope you're all going to be here tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after. But in case you aren't, I hope today is the best